Now, to give his class this evening titled, Do You Believe in Angels? I'll now call upon Brother Mac McPherson.
Good evening, everyone. We hope you've had an enjoyable day and been a part of this wonderful creation that the Almighty in heaven has designed. I think most of us are aware of conditions that are happening in the world today. The signboards that are all around us tell us that man is designing his own destruction. And they're fully aware of this, the authorities of the land and scientists and all those who investigate into events that are happening upon the earth. And they wonder why conditions are so. It's a very simple answer if the men would open their Bibles and they would read from there the reason why. And it tells us in scripture that the reason is because these men and these scientists and those that are in authority and those who are doing research are fools. It's as plain as that. They're fools because they ignore the fact that there is a God in heaven, the Creator. And so our world today, and in our own city, you can talk with those who are on the street and come to the question of the Bible and God. They know of the God of the Bible. They're knowledgeable to that extent. But they refuse to allow God into their lives. And this is their downfall. Because we know that this God in heaven is desirous that he would have contact with all people. And so we remember, do we not, the God, this mighty God of the Bible, the great creator, he is, as we've seen, he from everlasting to everlasting, and no man can have seen him or will see him and live. And God, in a realization of this fact, that it would be very difficult for people in general to believe in something that they couldn't see. So this is where we get an introduction to our subject this evening, that this merciful and kind and compassionate God is in the realization of this, and so he has representatives that go forth before him to help people to know of his existence. And so it was that we have this introduction to the ministering spirits, as the Bible calls them, but we call that we have knowledge of them as angels or messengers. Just as simple as that. And so from a little child upwards, we have this knowledge that this great God in heaven, he is all loving. He desires that all people should come to know him. And so he has these representatives that we call angels. And so it was at a small age, I was taught by my mother to believe in something that I couldn't see. At a very, very small age, my mother taught me in the evening hour to kneel down by my bed and talk to a God in heaven that I could not see. And I realized at that difficult, young age, that my mother was asking me to do something that I didn't quite understand. And in her teaching, she informed me that there was this God in heaven, this great creator, and the mighty one, but I would be able to talk to him, but I would never be able to see him. And so he brought queries into my mind at this time. So as a young boy, I grew up to read the Bible, interested in the Bible, could never understand it very much at that early age. But I did remember and had a fellow hero in the Bible for me was a man called Moses. And we remember the early history of Moses, that his mother had this young son. And at that particular time, there was a command gone out that all boys should be destroyed. And his mother, as naturally, who loved his son so much, she came to the conclusion that something must be done. And she, as we know the story well, even the little ones at the front here will know the story very well, that the mother had built an ark or a cage, case in which she placed Moses safely in the River Nile. And the outcome was, as we know, the baby cried. It was the cry of God. It was the cry of God that this child should live, because God had a future for him. It was the cry that Pharaoh's wife, or Pharaoh's daughter, would come down and she would find this little boy. And the movement would be there in place in the life of this young boy from then onwards. He would be called Moses because he was taken out. He was called Moses because he was taken out of the water. And this was the old desire of this mighty God, that certain ones should be taken out of the river of life, that they might enjoy the experiences that Moses would later on, and the promises made to the fathers of old. So we remember that Moses' mother, we remember that when Moses was taken out of the water, that the daughter, the young lady said, "We must have someone to look after this young boy. He's of an Israelite." And we know that the Moses' sister was by right there. And Moses' sister said to her, "Well, I can find a nursemaid to look after him." The outcome of it, we know that Moses would then return to his mother, and I believe that from that day on that Moses' mother taught him to believe in something that he could not see. And yet we query this, because when we go to the book of Hebrews, we find that Moses tells us that he did see somebody. They did see the mighty one who is invisible. So remember in the chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, when it speaks of those who are faithful unto God, who live by faith. But it says there that speaking of the different individuals, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and all those. And then we get to the man Moses. And he said there that after he'd been spent time in the house of royalty, that he, because of circumstances, he had to flee, he had to get out of Egypt. And he said, "By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." And so, as we said, that I said in my own life at the beginning, that I was taught to believe in something that I couldn't see. But now we see here that Moses is saying he saw him who is invisible. And we naturally know who he's speaking of. He saw God who is invisible. And I believe that this the visible aid at this time was the company of angels. I believe that his visibility was the events that are happening around him of his own life, of the progress of moving from one station and to another. And so we remember that through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them, and so on in this particular way. And so what we're trying to show here is a development into our subject tonight, that this God in heaven desires that we should see something invisible, that we should be provided by an assistance, a divine or heavenly assistant to help us to this end. And so we go, remember that that Moses in many ways had this wonderful experience of the companion, companion of angels on more than one occasion. So in Hebrews chapter 1, and I was intended to say at the outset that I am 100% believer of angels. Why do I say this? I will tell you a little later on and show to you why I believe this. But there is a danger within the world and within Christian believers that they believe in a God, but they neglect to hook into this power that is present, and that is of angels. We neglect that when in our experiences of life, when we need assistance, we try to work out our own salvation in this way, but they are standing, waiting to assist us of these angels or the ministering spirits or helpers of God or messengers of God. And I think it's a beautiful thought, if you think about it, that this great creator, who is everlasting to everlasting, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he is, that we cannot, as he said to Job and to others, he said, you weren't there at the beginning, you don't understand my power and ability to perform. And you never will do. And yet this powerful one condescends and desires, has this desire above anything else, that all people should be saved from self-destruction. And this destruction, he's trying to take them out of that experience by being assisted by his ministering spirit or the angels. I just like the word angels, because to me it's a messenger of God. And what more would one want than that, than a messenger or someone coming from God to assist us? So in Hebrews chapter 1, we read this, and it says, he's speaking about the condition at this time, and it says God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and so on. And then he said later on, we'll read verse 3 for connection, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and the upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of high. So you immediately recognize the person at this time is Jesus Christ, who was the Son of Man, who is the Son of God. And he said, he being made so much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to him again. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all angels of God know him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Verse 13, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of their salvation? And you all know what a minister is. It's a minister in the government department who minister and to minister the aid to other people and so on in this way. I would just like to go back to Exodus chapter 3, and we shall see that when we read if you read the Old Testament, you'll see that the angels are prevalent throughout the history of the Old Testament. They're in force, since any major event that is happening, it's always God is there, and the people can seem divine because of the things that are happening around them in that particular way. So in Exodus 3, it says this. Now Moses is an example of where an angel was so forthright in coming unto Moses and teaching him of what would happen to the people, the generation that would follow. I love this incident because it's so spectacular and so powerful. And it's not limited to Moses. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's not limited to Moses, the divine attention. It can belong to any one of us if we believe in God, that God would do this for us who are seeking for that which is of truth. And so it says in chapter 3, now Moses kept the flock. He was a shepherd, as we know. He kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to that side of the desert, the last place you would expect to see an angel or be aware of an angel. He went to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, something spectacular, because he was in the presence of an angel. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. And so the readers of the Bible will immediately be aware of the fact what is happening here. First of all, Moses must be aware that he is in the presence of God. He's seen things which are invisible. And so it said in verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see him, God called unto him. God spake to him. By the mouth of angels spake unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And we don't get excited at the fact that if we are in an event of our lives and we're calling on God to help us, and it may be a real dramatic or very painful situation we're in, and we can call on this the angel representative of God, that we can be, Moses here, be instructed to take off our shoes because we are on holy ground. That is what can happen if we have this association with God through the angels. And we have a neighbor who has a very nice a garden, but in the middle of the garden he's got a statue like this of an angel right in the middle, and he really loves that. And he believes, or has knowledge of angels, but really doesn't believe in them as being active in his life. But this angel has big wings. And the conversation goes, is that the case? Do angels have wings? And I said, no. And he said, well, how about all these religious pictures that are painted? And they're painted with the angels coming out of heaven with wings. And I said, well, they don't have wings, first of all. It's not necessary. But I'm in sympathy with the artist. I'm in sympathy with the statue here, because the average person doesn't quite understand how that an individual or a being, I better put it that way, a being can travel from the heavens of the heavens, come down to earth, spend time on earth, and go back. And so in the simple mind of a person or an artist, that's the only way they can do it. They can give them wings, and we know that a person has wings, or a plane has wings, and then they can come off the earth and float up in heaven. Most of you, I'm sure, listened to and watched the Queen's funeral. And one of the ministers there, who was in control of part of the funeral service, he mentioned more than once the name of God. And he mentioned quite often the name which I love, that God is the Lord of hosts. And I think that comes out of the Psalms, and I think it's a beautiful title attached to God. What he's saying here, that Lord, the Lord our God is the Lord of a host of angels. And so this gives us an introduction, an insight into the heavens, that in heaven there are angels waiting to do God's will. They've been active in the past, they've been active now, I can guarantee you that. And they will be more active when Jesus returns to the earth. So we go into the Psalms to learn a little more about angels. And in Psalm 103, we can listen to the psalmist David, I'm sure, believed in angels, depended on angels for his survival of the opposition, the troubles, the difficulties that he had of life. So Psalm 103 and verse 20, it reads this way: Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. So David recognizes, no question in his mind, that these angels exist, and they excel in strength through the power given to them from God. And their whole purpose is not to rebel against God, but to conform and dovetail with the thoughts and commands of God, and they do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, O ye hosts. See there, and that's the mighty one, or the Hallowen. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And so there's just the next chapter. It's actually interesting. The next Psalm, Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord, my God. Thou art very great, thou art clothed with honour and majesty, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heaven like a curtain, who layeth the beams of the chambers in the water, who maketh the cloud his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits in midst of the flaming fire. And so here we're listening to the makeup of God, the power of God, the creator of God, and all things that he made. And attached to all those things is that he has set in order angels who are ministers to him of a flaming fire, which is another subject. Where did these angels come from? We're not going to discuss that tonight, because we know that whilst we don't know where they came from in this particular way, but we do know one thing for certain, because the Bible tells us. And the one thing is certain, that when God created the heavens and the earth and set everything in order, that he was there assisted by those angels or ministering spirits. So when we go to Job 38, which we have been discussing a lot of late, of the book of Job, we read there, don't we, that in Job 38 and at verse 6, it says, God again, amplifying the power of God, the great creator. And then it says, whereupon are the foundation thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Who was there in the beginning? So it tells you who was there at the beginning. The great creator, the God of the universe, was there. But also, verse 7, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And I believe that in some of the other translations, it has there, instead of the sons of God, it has the angels of God. So they were there in the beginning, and they will be there at the end, and they will be present until things all things are being fulfilled by God. And so we see them active in this way. Now this little time, just to get your attention, maybe a little better than it is, I'm going to let you into a little secret of my life. Just a little secret. In my early days as a boy, life was not easy for me. Some of you may say, well, you've had a good life. I never had a good life. I can't complain. But in my very youth, going to school and experiencing things of the war, which wasn't that serious for me, but my condition of life, my trying to deal with life, it was not the most pleasant for me. I was afraid of life. And yet I never forgot. My mother said, kneel by your bed, pray to the one you can't see, and he will help you to be able to deal with that situation. And the reason I tell you this, because I believe I am a believer of an angel 100%, because angels have been present in my life since that time of the 18 to 19 to 20, because in this state of mind as I was afraid of life because I had difficulty of life as a young man then, and I would walk the streets trying to figure out what I should do. And I had a habit of walking up one street called Regent Street, and the reason why that I went there because it was a street of watches and clocks. And I've had a fascination for watches ever since I was 12 years old when I bought my first watch through an insurance, little insurance that I paid into. And I'm walking down the street, I'm watching all these beautiful watches in the window, and then suddenly, on the street, the watches, in the middle of these watch shops, there was the Cook's travel agent. Now you may not believe this, but I believe it, because I believe in angels. Suddenly, I found myself not looking at watches, I found myself standing in the middle of the store by myself with agents sitting all around me. I don't know how I got there, I had no intention of going there, but I was there, and somebody said to me, how can we help you? The voice of an angel? Maybe. The voice of an agent. And so within half an hour, he'd got me. I was embarrassed of being there because I didn't know what to say, why I was there. I was embarrassed, and I said, I want to go to Canada. The only reason I said I was going to Canada because my father had talked about Canada all my youth, and that was the only country that I knew. And so I said, I want to go to Canada. And he said, right, sit down. And within half an hour, he had me booked on the SS Francolia going to Canada. I came out of that place, had to go home and tell my mother I was going to Canada. So it was a remarkable, but that's what it happened. You may question me, but I believe in angels, and that angel, I'm sure, took me up, put me in there, and said, the only way you're going to straighten out your life, the only way you're going to get closer to God is go make a big break from this situation here and go to another country. And so it is. I came to this country. And so it is that I had a closer walk with God. And so it is the angels have never left me. From that time on, I could spend an hour or two here showing you step by step how things happened in my life that I never arranged and never expected, but every movement was to my advantage in so many ways. It was a divine assistance from a minister of God. I never questioned it, and that has been the strength of my survival in the days which shall belong to me, which are as so many. And so it is when we go to the, we have a little time, and we go into the Old Testament, we see that this experience doesn't belong to me alone, but more so with people of the Old Testament. I want to go to just a couple. I just want to go to let's go to Genesis 19. Now we're into the days of Abraham and Lot, and there is life. Abram's in the same situation as me, or was. Not that I'm a man like Abraham by a long way. But he had the same. He was in a situation, and the angels came to him and told him, Abraham, get out of here, go there, and things will open up to you as to where you go and what God has for you. And so it was that we remember, do we not, in we'll go to let's see which one we will go to. I've got too many quotations here. In Genesis 19 and 1. This is the time, remember, that Abraham and Lot were there, and the angels of the three angels that visited Abraham in chapter 18. Abraham recognized, and these angels can be in the disguise of somebody in appearance like myself or a man. And so it's difficult, but Abraham recognized that these men were different. And so you remember that they came to Abraham, told Abraham about his wife expecting a baby and so on. And then in chapter 9 he says, then there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now Sodom and Gomorrah were like our world today. And Sodom and Gomorrah are the attention of God. And God intended to visit them by way of angels, and see if he could persuade them to move away from their wicked ways as our world is today. Recognize that the God is the God of Abraham. Recognize that God will help them if they believe in him. So it says in chapter 19, verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground, and so on. And you remember the incident that happened, that the angels wouldn't stay with Lot. They stayed in the street. But the only reason I mentioned, drew your attention there, is to show to you that in the lives of the early pioneers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, angels were ever there. They're present all the time. I'd like to also go to, I think it's wonderful, I've given going into Exodus chapter 14. As a young boy, these incidents and these stories throw me, because I could see that great things were happening amongst the people of God. But in Exodus 14 and 19, it says this. You will recognize events that have happened. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see no more. How would this work out? This worked out because angels were present, and angels possessed the power given, they were given the power of God, and they were able to do more than the armies of Pharaoh. So in verse 19 says, the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and so on. When Israel came out of Egypt, they marched, it says, They marched in order. I was giving a talk in Vernon one time, and a lot younger now, more daring, and I said, when Israel marched out of Egypt, on either side of the column, there were angels, either side. I thought that was quite a novel thing to say, and an illustration of what was going on, but some elderly brother decided that's what I should have said, so I got reprimanded on the spot, which I didn't mind coming from him. Anyhow, there's more quotations that I would like to have brought up in the Old Testament, but I'd like to go to the New Testament quickly and mention, refer to Peter that we had read this evening. And that is one of the most, in the Old Testament, apart from the angels associating with Jesus, exciting for me incidents there. Remember Peter had difficulties in his life. Peter wanted to go this way. God said, no, you don't go this way. My angel will tell you which way to go. My angel will tell you what you can do. If you trust in me, you will see your God as invisible by the presence of angels. And remember, do we not, how beautiful that scene was, that Peter, because of his determination to serve his God, regardless of anything else, he was put into a prison. And so in Acts chapter 12, we have Peter there. What a wonderful experience to go through. What a wonderful experience to go through. I think I would have suffered the punishment just to have that experience of being there with with the angel and things happening as they did. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And who were the brothers and sisters of that church praying for? They were praying for Peter. And what were they asking? They were asking that God, I believe, that an angel would be sent and take care of Peter in this predicament. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Could you imagine me sleeping between two? My wife said I can sleep anywhere, but I don't think I'd be sleeping between two soldiers bound with chains, knowing that on the morrow I could be put to death. But Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. He answered and carried out the command of the angel. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about me and follow me. And he followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of their own accord, and they went out and passed on to one city, and forthwith the angel departed from it. And I want you to notice that little quote there, when it said the angel took the chains off him, the angel led him, opened up the gate for him, the angel led him into the street, and then the angel departed from him. And that is the way of a true Christian if he wants the blessing of God. God will take you so far, and then God said, now you're on your own. Show me if you believe in me, and that the one who has assisted this time is my representative. And so we remember that Peter went to the house or the place of worship that was at that time, and they couldn't believe that it was Peter, and so they believed it was an angel. Why did they believe it was an angel? Why did they believe it was an angel? I'll tell you why. Because people in those days, and a true believer, and the one who wants to be able to see things which are invisible. The one who wants to be a part of God's kingdom upon the earth, they have to recognize the fact of this, that their angel, they have an individual angel. And some may say, I don't think so, speaker. I don't think so. But I say so. The Bible says so. And it is quite true. And this is where the power of the presence of God is in life. That we have, when we're baptized, the reason for being baptized and the blessing of being baptized, that when you're baptized, an angel is commissioned to you, one angel. And so we remember that we're not in Matthew 28, it tells us that those who are known of God, those who believe in God, those who follow his commandments, they are blessed in this, that the angels, it says there, the angel behold the face of their father in Matthew 18 and at verse 10. It says there, speaking about the condition of the world, speaking about how you should prepare yourself to please God. If you have anything that is offending you, get rid of it. Avoid all possibilities of anything interfering with your communication with God. Then he says in verse 10, Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. I say unto all of you here this evening, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save. And so I have this confidence, and I live by this confidence, and I am praying this evening that I'm talking of angels. And I believe angels 100%. My mission this evening is to try and persuade all of you to recognize this powerful source which is available for you in believing in the angels of the God, in as much as you're able to see them active in your lives. And so it is said in Psalm 68 that the thousands of angels who are there in waiting to assist those who will come to him. Now we need a lot of comfort. We need a lot of comfort. And if you have any question about an angel being in your life or that, then I want you to go to your Bible, and I want you to go to the Psalms, and I want you to mark a wonderful comment in the Psalms, which will assure you your promises. We in this evening hour have members who are quite sick, and we pray for them. But we don't wail and cry and all that, because we have this confidence that is in this evening hour, things are happening which are recorded for us in the Psalms. We have this confidence this evening, as the psalmist says, that if you believe in angels, you believe that God is taking care of you, then angels will be at your bedside. So trust in God and all will go well. And this is what it says in Psalm 34, 6 and 8. Wonderful. My foundation for life. It says, verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. 18 years of age. Then they looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, 18 years old. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And so it is. We want you to have this confidence and trust that there are angels encamp around you. And you know what? The angels will die no more. And you know what Jesus said? There will come a time if we believe in the living God, I just go to where it's quoted to conclude with. And that is in Luke. And this is the assurance that is given to us of Jesus Christ, who depended, as we know, so much upon angels himself. He went through more difficult and trial than many other man will ever do, but he saved them, survived them all. He was, as we know, the lamb without blemish before his God, because he believed in his God 100%. He believed in his God that the angel would be with him at all times. And he said, if you follow me, if you put on the saving name, my saving name, through baptism, he says this. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, that's the new creation, and resurrection from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Those things of this life will be of no import and no need to be a place in those in that kingdom. But he said, those who will be baptized and put on the saving name of Jesus Christ, he said, there will come a day when they were neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels, and they are children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, for he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. You and I must believe in angels, reassuring us that this God in heaven is a living God. Moses was taught by his mother not to believe in the gods of Egypt that were made with man's hand, but to believe in the living God. He lived, he survived, because angels always accompanied him. Likewise, Jesus the Christ. And may be your lot in life, that you may be equal unto the angels, because you have now in this life walked with angels.